Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Dino and Brendan about to join me to look back on racing around Australia yesterday, primarily on what was a wintry conditions at Flemington, and a lot of talk about the track conditions at Eagle Farm, and it seemed to suit horses that liked Eagle Farm and had raced well there before, and Flemington did deteriorate as was predicted during the morning. And Dean Lester, that deterioration may well have played into your favour with one of your value bets of the day in Great Again, getting the money down the straight. It was a little bit of a relief on a tough day.
Yeah, a little bit of respite, Warren, that's for sure. Alf Aura and Great Again were kind. The back end didn't treat me so kindly, but gee, it was hard going. I don't think I've seen tighter horses at Flemington, especially in those early races. They seemed to string out and the margins were so significant, but yeah, it was a tough day at the office for the horses, probably jockeys, punters, etc.
And Brendan Delaney, we've all stood in pubs and clubs and heard blokes who didn't back a winner and say they should put a bomb under the joint. Someone might have said that about Eagle Farm yesterday and misinterpreted as a bomb threat.
Yes, they got halfway through their ploy there, didn't they? But thankfully, it was just a thread, and it was cleared up quite quickly. And well done to all those involved up there in Queensland, stewards and participants and the like, to get the show back on the road and get the feature races run.
As Dino outlined, it did look tough going at Flemington for horses. If you didn't handle the conditions, you're in a lot of trouble yesterday. Handle the conditions was down the straight in the straight six. Great Again. We've just had a chat to Lindsay Smith, and he selected the right race for Great Again, dodging the Wongoom to head to Flemington yesterday.
So at the 350, it's Great Again and rocks the castle just in front of Home of the Brave. Malibu Style is trying to get through. Milwaukee under pressure. The Tigeressa needs a run. Then Richich down the outside. Great Again at the 200 and Home of the Brave. They were followed by Rich Charm, who's running on with Richich and Lord Von Costa. Great Again, Home of the Brave. Rich Charm the outside. Great Again just in front of Rich Charm, Home of the Brave. And just one Great Again. Great Again from Rich Charm, Home of the Brave. Then Malibu.
Well, Dino, you were batting up for the chances of Great Again, and you've known Dieter Clark for a long time, so you probably, from your point of view, I'm thinking it was a good race, the story of Rich Charm being back but not getting the better of Great Again, who was a horse you were tipping, probably adds another good layer to the race.
Yeah, it was good to see Rich Charm show what he what we haven't seen of him for a while through circumstance, but he ran really well and maintained his terrific form down the straight. And but Great Again, I just thought it was a good ride by Declan Bates. I think Lindsay Smith in the interview with you just earlier outlined that a bit of the horseman skills involved, you know, letting him use his big stride, riding him in a long rein and letting him get into a rhythm. I think if Home of the Brave had been ridden in a similar fashion, he may have nearly won. He seemed to resent being restrained early. He was terrific with the big weight. He loves the wet ground. As we've said, Rich Charm ran well. But and Malibu's Style was in a bit of restricted room at a crucial stage as well. But certainly Great Again, just maintaining that superior wet track record as he showed last winter in Perth, beating some very good horses and straight back into it yesterday.
Probably not going to be able to read a lot into sectional times for the meeting yesterday. It looked, as we've said, pretty tough going, but I suppose you can compare them to other heavy tracks. How do you go about assessing times when you're looking at such seriously rain-affected ground?
Yeah, well, using daily sectional times as I do, they have a standardised algorithm, which probably helps a little bit. But then you can just compare on the day, and there are enough straight races to say, well, there's a comparison, and They were good figures. The performance of Rich Charm, he was 10th best last 400 of the meeting, 7th best last 200. So he had the best last 200 of the race. Home of the Brave and Great Again were the next best last 200s of the race. So, yeah, you get a little bit of a comparison there. But, yeah, some of these struggled. But probably wasn't a surprise as the track got worse that Milwaukee didn't handle the ground. It was the margin he got beaten. And the other one was Miss Ayana. You'd have thought that would have played into her hands, and she just she didn't fire.
What were your thoughts here, Brendan?
I thought Great Again really good. pre-race on racing.com. Shane Jackson was down there deputising for the Lindsay Smith stable, and he said the instructions were to just let him roll, and that's what he did. He was really good. Like, great to see Rich Charm run his race that we all know he can produce, but we haven't seen him for a long time. I thought Home of the Brave really good. You'd love to have Malibu style. That ticks him over to $1 million in prize money there yesterday, filling fourth placing. Thought Rich Itch loomed like he was going to be a player in the race at about the 200, but just peaked on his run. I didn't think La Tigresa got the clearest of passages back in behind them. With Miss Iona, I think just putting it down to maybe that she would have been appreciated to have a little bit of cover there on the outside. She was exposed for a long way, and when we've seen her tuck in behind out the back and come with a looping run, so maybe a little excuse for her there. Had she got a little bit of cover through that early part of the race, she might have been able to produce a bit better finish than what she was able to do there at the back end after facing the breeze.
Nothing from the stewards report regarding Miss Iona. Ben Mallum could offer no explanation, and nothing from a veterinary examination. And similar with Milwaukee, Jai Mill reported that he failed to handle the heavy conditions. So that was perhaps a concern with the downgrade, and his opinion he mightn't have handled the quick backup from the run the previous week. And nothing from a veterinary examination with Milwaukee either. Dino, what was your take on the performance of La Tigresa? I thought she was she looked to me like she's come back well and could be a coming winner without much luck.
Yeah, she ran very well, Warren. Her performance full of merit. And she gets better into a campaign, I think. So, yeah, without a lot of luck, she ran well. I thought Rocks the Castle was another one. He was up there, you know, punching on to the end and battled on well. And now he's better in that dictating role at 1400, maybe 1500. So, yeah, that some of these might progress onto a heat of the winter championship at 1400. And that's, he'd be certainly very competitive in a race like that.
There were warning signs that the track was pretty testing at the start of the day. We'd already been ground graded to a heavy eight. Sasco was able to roll along on the speed. There looked some tired horses chasing him in the first yesterday.
Into the straight at the 500 metres, Sasco in front. From in second, Bo Belmain, Nashville Sound. Shepherd is struggling now. Then Good Idea, Instigator whacking away. And then came Yonkers, still Sasco, past the 300 metres. Two legs in front of Nashville Sound. Then Good Idea, Instigator, Bo Belmain. And then Sin to Win, Mud Splattered. But with 150 to go, still Sasco. Sasco, two legs, Good Idea, Nashville Sound. Then Instigator, Sin to Win. But Sasco is going to lead all of the way. Sasco won the opener from Good Idea, Photo third, Cinder Win or Nat.
Positive ride, first use of the track. Brendan, how did you see the first?
Up on the speed, Sasco, very similar to the way he went about his business winning at Warrnambool at the start prior. Went along at sections that suited him and then just ramped it up from the 1,000 metres and had most of the favourites, well, in fact, all of the favourites, nearly all of the field off the bit, chasing him from about the 700 metre mark. It was just going to be a matter of whether or not Sasco was able to hold on. Shepherd was struggling a fair way out, as was Starcaster. He probably marked his card early on in the race. When it went down to a heavy eight, it wasn't really probably going to suit him, and he pulled quite hard through the first half of the race. Once he got relaxed, he got out onto the three wide line. You thought there might be something there to offer, but it's clear that probably he doesn't handle really wet conditions, and that slow tempo through the early part of the race, he was a bit disappointing. Sin to Win keeps running well from the back of the field. You would think he's going to pick up a race over the winter. Nashville Sound had his chance to avenge Sasco at the top of the straight, just peaked on he's running. Good Idea just keeps on racing well. Thought that Yonkers got into a good enough spot. So did Shepherd. It was a slowly run race. Shepherd probably the first beaten. Yonkers wasn't too far behind him. They were disappointing, but Sasco really relished those wet conditions.
Shepherd, just no explanation from Luke Nolan. Dino, with the stewards report there, Brendan's outline Starcast over racing, that didn't help him, and he had a slow recovery, and Craig Williams identifying the track conditions as a significant reason with the respect to Yonkers. What was your take on this race?
Yeah, sort of through the sectional times, it wasn't that slowly run. Actually, Sasco went from the start to the 800 about 2.3 lengths above standard. That's, you know, most track conditions. So, he actually just took the sting out of them, basically, and it wasn't the Warrnambool Cup form that we thought might stand up, say, with Cinder Wynn. It was the benchmark 78 form of Sasco and Nashville Sound that stood up. And our good friend and former panellist on the show, Carl Diorio, as he does on Saturday nights with his homework, I see he said that Sasco's last 200 was the slowest overall field split since January 19, and Jinder was the next slowest, 12.93, and this horse ran 13.71. So, yep, that was Carl's Saturday night, and we learnt that it was just an absolute slog, and Sasco was the one that the best equipped to outslog them.
He's just really ruining the COVID situation and the fact that he has to stay home and trawl through all those numbers on a Saturday night. He's normally such a wild man about town, is Carl. With respect to Sasco, though, Dino, that's probably a relatively new addition to Matt Kamani's stable, and he's never been a horse with a turn of foot. So between Matt Kamani and Michael Poy, they've really used the horse's assets well yesterday.
I reckon it was a fantastic ride, yep. He got it right twice yesterday, Michael Poy. This was the first one, and he played to his horse's strengths. And what it did was we heard Peter Moody in the lead-up to the race say that Shepherd was inexperienced, and I thought that probably shone through with the pressure that was put on. And the other thing, you know, a horse like Yonkers, he really, you could actually physically see he couldn't handle the ground. He was hopeless in it. But it took the horses that have got a turn of foot, you know, for this sort of class, like Cinder Wynn, even Good Idea, they couldn't use it because they'd spent their chips chasing him and trying to get into the race.
Take out a Starcaster's run.
I thought it was an interesting one going up to 2,500 metres at this stage. He's still very much a work in progress, and I thought they might have used a couple of 2,000 metre races just to get him to try and get into some sort of rhythm, but he's proving that he's not as good on heavy ground. I didn't blame the heavy ground at Sandown. I sort of blamed the way the race was run. I actually thought he ran okay there, but yesterday maybe back to 2,000, a bit better ground, and we'll see where he's at.
Race 2 at Flemington yesterday was the Tom Melbourne Trophy over 1,400 metres. Quakeway was the favourite. Craig Newitt was aboard Immortal Love.
Into the straight, 450 out. Immortal Love has taken it up from Dubai Centre. Down the outside, Rock the Ring runs on from Quay, and Indictment's getting into its work too. But Immortal Love has gone for the Doctor. 250 metres to go. Three lengths in front of Rock the Ring, Indictment, and also Quay battling on. Immortal Love with 150 metres to go. Still led by a good margin, Quay and Indictment. And it's over. Immortal Love for Craig Newitt. Down to the line, bolts in. Quay second, Indictment.
Signs of testing ground again here, Dino. They really did start to spread out over the concluding stages here. What was your take on this race?
Yeah, Warren, there were some very tired two-year-olds, but Immortal Love's overall figure was pretty good, really, for a two-year-old to do what he did at his second start, and he rode the speed and just sort of cranked it up and then was able to maintain a pretty good gallop. I thought Quay tried hard, but you could just see he wasn't going to have that dynamic turn of foot on those sort of conditions. Indictment, I think long-term he might be the best horse in the race, but he's still, you know, very much in the learning. But it was a lot better than Adelaide, and probably showed that the Adelaide track was playing very leaderish that day. And Rock the Ring was okay, but then they just started coming in at massive intervals. So Immortal Love's win was very good. It was a lot more pressure early than the win at Echuca. So he absorbed that well and won well and did run only slightly, but ran quicker time than the three-year-old fillies in race three. So that's always a good time for a two-year-old to run a better time.
A lot was made, Brendan, of the fact that the favourite has run second in the Tom Melbourne Trophy. How did you see this race?
Yeah, probably not a race you want to run second in. Might get you a bit of a tag for the next coming runs in the future. But gee, there were some tired horses. You'd swear they'd nearly gone 2,800 the way they were coming in, and a couple of the babies might get a bit sour on the whole racing thing after watching the leaders really streak away from them late. Thought Immortal Love really good up there on the speed, gave a good kick, and probably got left in front sooner than he wanted. But he was good. Quay settled closer, as Dean outlined. He was trying hard, but you just knew he wasn't going to bridge the gap. Indictment's run a really good race. He was a long way off them. Just seen throughout that Ben Mallon was just niggling him and prodding him just to make sure he was concentrating, and I thought his finale was pretty good coming from a fair way off them. One back in the field, he's a Zeb. I'm not sure how well he was travelling at the time. He might have been starting to feel the pinch, but gee, he got fixed up on the turn. A couple of them flattened him, which would provide an excuse. He's eligible for something much easier than this. And he, you know, quite possibly could have finished a lot closer than what he did. But all honours to him, Water Love rode the speed and was too good to maintain a good margin on them.
Yeah, that incident with Hezabeb is highlighted in the stewards' report. Just you're quite often up there in the callers' box watching races, Brendan. Just wanted your observation. The results list Hezabeb Commander as beaten 76.95 lengths. So I thought it was closer to about 75.8. What was your take on his margin?
Yeah, I was sort of going 75 and three quarters, but we'll leave that. He probably needed to borrow a pair of Matt's binoculars to see where the winner of Mortal Love was. He was a long way off them, and that just outlined probably how heavy the track was yesterday, how testing the conditions were, that how far they were beaten.
Dino's already outlined that Immortal Love ran reasonable time, only marginally quicker than the three-year-old fillies in race three, and Michael Poy was shooting for an early double aboard Le Chevalier in that race.
Serena tapped up at the 350. Wild Vixen the outside chasing with Barbie's Fox, then Miss Layla. Le Chevalier behind them. Denton Deficits and Edward's Crown down the outer from Dyckman. It's Wild Vixen up to Serena at the 200. Le Chevalier running on between them. Barbie's Fox and Denton Deficit. Great go. Le Chevalier took the front of the 100. Draws clear. Dyckman from the clouds, but Le Chevalier won it well by a length and three quarters. Dyckman, Denton Deficit third.
Late scratching of Stratessa early in the day, a couple of other late scratchings later on in the card with the downgrade of the track. Race three over the 1400. Brendan, how did you see this?
Serena rolled along at what looked an even enough speed, got rolling with Wild Vixen, ended up joining it there on the outside. The winner, Le Chevalier, midfield defence, needed the luck and got it at the right time. Denton Deficit, who was favourite for the race. I just think that there was a little incident at the 1,000 metres that didn't help her cause. Was probably going to be a bit closer in the run, but Ready Set Sail had to check off some heels and just probably got shuffled back a little bit further than Denton Deficit would have liked there. Jamie Carr got out in plenty of time, but was giving the winner a couple of length start that probably didn't want to be giving from that incident that happened out there at the 1,000 metres. I thought Serena was really good on the speed while Vixen battled well. Barbie's Fox, just a big forgive run there, was four deep. The trip tracked into it like she was going to play a part in the finish, but just covering the ground that she covered wasn't going to allow her to show that turn of foot that she showed last time. But Le Chevalier got the brakes again.
How'd you see this race, Dave?
Yeah, I thought she did a great job to get into that position, Le Chevalier, and again, terrific ride, I thought, from Michael Poy there to win. Dyckman going well, handling the wet well, ran well, and that, the races two and three, there was two significant pieces of interference. You don't see it much anymore like that, and that was certainly messy at about the 1,000 metres there. Denton Deficit, just slightly out of position from that, but again, I think early in the day, that inside patch played really well, and that's certainly what Michael Poy angled to and used it to advantage on Le Chevalier.
And I think at that incident at about the 1,000 metres that you talked about, Michael Poy might have been being dictated to with horses around him, but he didn't seem to lose any sort of poise or be panicked by that. He just let it all unfold. He probably still then wasn't in the spot because of that interference where he wanted to be, but he just held his ground, bided his time, and then probably had confidence in the horse, Dean, that she'd be able to pick up in the ground later on.
Yeah, absolutely, and take the run as she did at Sandown. So no, it was a good ride and a good win, and she's that filly's going very well, especially in the testing ground. She proves her strength late in races.
What do we take out of this race for the future? What horses in particular here are you thinking they might be able to progress onto the right sort of race in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, it's a tricky one because, it was such a, tough day. You just hope some of these, if they were early in their prep, weren't flattened out of it. But I still think Le Chevalier can keep going on. They'll go through the Philly series through to finals day. Dyer Quinn's having a really good preparation. I'm not giving up on St. Edward's Crown. I just think it was, she was out where you didn't want to be, probably early in the day until the track really evened up. And I thought her run was adequate, and she's competitive in this grade. And certainly Barbie's Fox, as Brendan outlined, was out wide. So I'll be very forgiving of her also.
Yeah, you've referenced Barbie's Fox. Brendan, is there anything else in this race in particular that you'd either be forgiving of or you're looking for a horse heading out in another race in the next couple of weeks?
You'd think St. Edward's Crown. Kura May runs well again from back in the field and out wide. She likes it at Flemington. They can bounce on, as can, you would think, Dyer Quinn. Le Chevalier, Denton Deficit, been up for a while, but just racing really consistently. She's going to hold her own as we progress through the winter, and Serena was a good effort yesterday. You'd think she can lead them along in a merry dance in the coming weeks. Whether or not she can hold on or not, we'll wait and see. But St. Edward's Crown and Barbie's Fox, probably the two taking through this one.
Alpha Oro's been a punter's pal so far this campaign for Matt Laurie. He was taking on slightly tougher opposition and facing heavy ground down the straight yesterday in race four.
400 metres to go at Sagara, joined by Alpha Oro, the outside. Over on the far side is Ruben Blur, Montenegro Man and El Questro. Pinions making up ground, Spirit of a Quadra, and I'm telling you late, Alpha Oro took the front, El Questro giving it a race with Ruben Blur and Spirit of a Quadra, and Pinions finishing hard, two of the 100. Alpha Oro just in front, Spirit of a Quadra and Pinion flashing at Alpha Oro, who's still in front and one. Alpha Oro has just won from Spirit of a Quadra, Pinion, then
He seems to have found that winning habit, Dino, and obviously a horse that spent a bit of time away from the track, but Matt Laurie's done a terrific job getting him back in such good form.
Yeah, I think Matt Laurie's a fantastic trainer of getting horses to get on strings of wins and getting them to hold their form, and this horse being beautifully placed just through the grades, they found the right race for him yesterday. I don't think the straight was, well, it was his first go down the straight, whether it really suited him. He got a little bit lost, and I think that's probably why early in the race Ben Malham held him back to the field, just to give him some company down the straight as much as anything, because I think he could have just let him roll a little bit more had he been more confident that he'd handle the straight. Got the wanders a bit late, and hence there was the protest, but he was good. Spirit of a Quarter, I mean, it was on the cards that he was going to improve second up, because he hadn't had a trial leading into that first up run, and improve he did. That second up form now, his last two preps behind Hal Vorsen and yesterday to Alpha Oro, that both those runs are terrific. And Pinion, she just runs well. She's just not a regular winner, but she was the best 800 of the day, second best 600, best 400 and 200 of the meeting. So this was actually the highest for time, standardised time, this was the highest ranking race of the day. So for a restricted race, I think you can trust the form.
How do you line up El Questro's fresh run? I thought there was some encouraging signs from El Questro back to the inside.
That was the key. Drew inside, ran really well. And you're looking at a horse, on the up. Ruben Blur's going okay. It probably ran as well as when he won here last year times, but he just ran into a good restricted class field yesterday. And then probably the usual suspects. I think Montenegro Man probably was the one a little bit disappointing, whether the conditions didn't suit him first up. But I think encouraging signs for El Questro, as you mentioned, Warren.
What are your thoughts on this race, Brendan?
Alpha Oro really good, really dug in late when he had to. Spirit of a Quarter maintains that second up form. I'm sure the connections are just liking to win one second up, though. You would think he's going to be competitive next time wherever he goes. Ruben Blur there with his chance. Pinion runs well. El Questro can improve second up. You can see that on her form card. And I'm telling you, runs his usual race down the straight. And they got clear of a couple of others. Sagara just overdid it through that first part of the race. He had nothing left to finish off with, but good determined victory from Alpha Oro, and a good story as well.
Written gem coming out of that race as a late scratching, and perhaps something to forgive Sagara in the stewards report. A post-race veterinary examination revealed gelding to be lame in the offside foreleg, so requires a veterinary certificate prior to racing again. He's had a deep and a fruitful campaign, Sagara. Perhaps a forgive yesterday. Race 5 at Flemington on testing ground was over 2,000 metres, and there was a big field assembled.
November Dreaming still in front at the 350. They drop Turidan away. Gamekeepers a threat with Highland Jack. Turidan back to fourth from Epsom Days Blue Ocean. November Dreaming at the clock tower has been joined by Gamekeeper. Gamekeeper on the outside has the big weight with Oliver. Takes November Dreaming, then Highland Jack Blue Ocean late. Gamekeeper at the 50. Clear Blue Ocean's flying, but Gamekeeper. Gamekeeper with the big weight. Beat Blue Ocean. November Dreaming third from Highland.
Well, it wasn't really a big field. There was a number of scratchings, Brendan. There was a big field of acceptors in race five at Flemington yesterday, and ultimately the decision to ride the 62 kilos and not claim and leave Damien Oliver aboard was a good decision for Tony and Kelvin McAvoy and Connections at Gamekeeper.
Yeah, certainly was. It was an Ollie special there. Just jumped onto the back of Turidan, knew the horse he wanted to follow. He got him to where he needed to be, and he was really, really good with the 62 kilos. Hard enough to win in testing conditions like there were yesterday, but to lump the 62s, a really good effort. I thought Blue Ocean was fantastic with his run bouncing out of a maiden win at Werribee. Certainly appreciated getting onto the bigger track. He's only a little horse, but he's got a big extravagant action. November Dreaming ran really well up on the speed. Highland Jack there with his chance again. Turidan was disappointing. He had the run of the race. As soon as it was time to go, there wasn't much left in the tank. And likewise for He's a Fox, was able to just tuck him behind, have a nice run. But when it was time to go, there was not a lot left in the tank. And he was beaten a long way, He's a Fox. So maybe an issue to come with him. But all honest to Gamekeeper, unbeaten this preparation. Three runs in Adelaide, and to lump 62 is a really good, really good effort.
Nothing from veterinary examinations for either Turidan or He's a Fox, and perhaps the track being the explanation, according to Jai McNeil, for Turidan. How did you see this, Dino?
Yeah, just Gamekeeper. His form leading in was good, but I thought he elevated yesterday with 62 to do that and win. Blue Ocean being ridden quieter at his past couple, I think, has really helped him as well, and ran well. November Dreaming, they tried to dictate the race, got away, and she wasn't going hard, and yet she set up a bit of a break. So it was a good ride, and it gave her a chance to win. I just don't know if she's got a lot in the tank. Looking at her, she was pretty revved up yesterday, but she ran well. Highland Jack, okay. Turidan, I've been tricked by this stable many, many times, but to me that looked like the run of a horse needing a little break. He sixth run in his first preparation, and they just do it so well, changing horses around in their environment and keeping them fresh and getting the maximum out of them. But I thought yesterday he really bottomed out from about the 400. He just seemed enough was enough for him, and he actually lost his action a bit on straightening as well. And He's a Fox, yeah, just a below par run.
The finish of Blue Ocean was visually impressive from a sectional time point of view. How did that stack up, Dean?
Yeah, well, he was finding the line. He went from the 38th best last 400 of the meeting to the 21st best last 200. When you consider the amount of straight racing we had yesterday, or sprint racing, that's a pretty good effort to be in around the 20s for his last 200 metres, and he was really hitting the line. And when you consider that Gamekeeper was the 59th best last 200, and the third horse, November Dreaming, being the 68th best 200, yeah, he was a fair bit better than them over the final stages, and really did hit the line. You know, nearly just looking at the actual figures, 12.74 home, and Gamekeeper was 13.38. So yeah, you know, he's made up three lengths in 200 metres on the winner.
Good finishing effort from Blue Ocean, but an outstanding performance, perhaps taking it to another level, Gamekeeper with 62 kilos. Hard to take anything away from the winner there, Damien Oliver, just maintaining great momentum. We've talked about the performance of Great Again beating Rich Charm, and before we move on to the next race, Dino, just reflecting, obviously a good win from Great Again, but great to see Rich Charm. Yudita Clark just lives and breathes the welfare of her horses, and she wouldn't have taken Rich Charm to the races if she wasn't of the opinion that he could do something, and just great to see him run so well yesterday and give Yudita and Connections optimism that he's back.
Yeah, and I mean he's come down a rung from when he won the Linlithgow on Derby Day, but that all Victorian Sprint Series down the straights ahead of him, and he likes the straight, and he loves the straight, so it was good to see him run well. I thought his trial was he was pretty casual, but I think he's been around that Cranbourne trial track that many times. He doesn't get much out of it. A day at the races should really stimulate him and kick him on from here.
Michael D was aboard Savaheat at big odds, injecting some value into the quaddie in race 7.
So Southern Rock at the 350, grabbed by Nudge Bar. Here's Savaheat, Arctic Shock, Duke of Plumpton over on the far side, runs on, and then came Nobu and Mr. Reckless as they reached the 200 metres. Savaheat goes to the front with Duke of Plumpton. Savaheat, Duke of Plumpton, Southern Rock and Nobu from Aussie Nugget. Savaheat just in front of Duke of Plumpton is forging on Massaf late, but Savaheat's in front, and Savaheat won it. Duke of Plumpton second, Massaf third, fourth, Nobu.
Well, they declared a dividend, so there was a few fortunate ones who included Savaheat and others in the quaddie. Brendan, was it? Were you part of that crew?
Was able to get a small return out of it. I had no... can't take any glory for putting Savaheat in, that's for sure. One of the crew decided to throw him in, and well done to Danny, but I couldn't have him, but he won really well there yesterday. Rolled into the race from about the 800 and just kept his momentum, kept running through the line. Duke of Plumpton presented with that inside run. You watch Billy Egan enough, you know, when he's presented with an inside run like that, 15 times out of 10, he's going back to the inside to take it. Saved a fair bit of ground. Just couldn't get the upper hand at the end. I thought the third horse, Massive, was really good from the back of the field. Nobu, another solid performance. Supra didn't have a lot of luck, and one from back of the field. We outlined him at his last start. He's just about ready now. Desert Path, he was out the back, but he's worked through the line. Was that of a horse that's ready to step up in trip and ready to play a bit more of a part in the back end of a race. That's for sure. For sure.
What was your take here, Dino?
Look, it was Savaheat is an 1800 metre specialist. I couldn't have had him yesterday, but they got the job done with him. Second up, Duke of Plumpton ran well. Massaf, just one of the real eye catches of the day, really. I just loved the way he galloped out the last 100. He was just absolutely building his momentum. The sectional time show was 30th best last 400, 20th best last 200. So I just think he was building and running through the line. I loved his run, and I agree. I like Desert Path's return, and I liked his run yesterday, but as long as he doesn't run into his stablemate Massaf, he'll be fine, because Massaf will beat him most times. He's right on track to win very soon, Massaf.
1,800 metres yesterday. What would you like to see perhaps in 2 or 3 weeks from Massaf?
It'd be lovely if there's a 2,000 metre race at Sydney at Flemington in 2 weeks. That'd be just a beautiful progression. Now, I'm not sure if there is, but if they can find that third up, that'd be ideal. He's 16 up to 1,800 yesterday, and the ground was irrelevant, and he was really good. I loved that run from him. Very forgiving of Aussie Nugget. He just got in awful spots through the run. Every time he tried to advance, he got on to the back of one that took him nowhere, and he probably switched paths 4 or 5 times, and ultimately, he had no momentum, and he was travelling with Duke of Plumpton at the 800, and by the time they'd straightened, he was well inferior to him, so he'd lost his spot, and it was a total forgive run for mine.
That's highlighted in the stewards report. I saw John McNeil stating that he was obliged to shift inwards. That's that changing of course that you've outlined, Dino, and ultimately that took him onto what he thought was inferior ground, and he just knuckled at the 800 metre mark as well, which didn't help, and a post-race victory examination revealing nothing. But yeah, probably just a complete forgive for Aussie Nugget with the way that the race panned out for him, and maybe Massaf and perhaps Desert Path from Brendan and Dino, horses to follow out of that race. Race 8 was over 1,600 metres. Sosie Bon and Shot of Irish were the early favourites.
Shot of Irish, Hope goes for the whip at the 350, kicked away 2 lengths in front of Sosie Bon Pakadali. Then came Django Freeman, Char Rossa running on, and Reykjavik under the arches. Shot of Irish at the 200 metres in front of Reykjavik, Sosie Bon, Char Rossa, Django Freeman. Shot of Irish, 100 metres to go. Reykjavik is coming hard. Reykjavik over the top takes the lead and has got it won. Reykjavik comes clear to score and won by 2 lengths. Shot of Irish, Django Freeman. Django.
Lindsay Smith paying great credit to the ride of Lewis German here aboard Reykjavik. Dino, what was your take on this race?
My take was that, he's a good horse, Reykjavik, and it worked out well for him yesterday, but Oh dear, Shot of Irish was brave. He went nearly four lengths above standard on testing ground, mainly because of a serial pest called Mr. Marathon Man. He's so wayward, and once he got a head of steam up, he just took off, and then they just took each other on. And Mr. Marathon Man ran last, and Shot of Irish ran second. He ran a terrific race. Django Freeman was the one we all wanted to see going into the race, because there's so much hype about him. We hadn't seen him for a while. Well, he showed that he's going to sort of make it here, I think. To what level, I'm not sure yet, but it was a good return. And I think Charrosa back to 1600 ran really well, at a price, dead agent running on as he does. And Sosie Bon, was discussed yesterday that he just breezed by Shot of Irish. Well, it was a different pressure yesterday. That's what Shot of Irish does. And he just took the sting out of Sosie Bon yesterday. He ran honestly, but different sort of pressure than the previous run at Caulfield.
Stewards report highlighting that that incident, or the position that Mr. Marathon Man ultimately put himself in. Michael D was instructed to ride the gelding with cover, and after attempting to do so, passing the 1400 metre, the gelding was over racing, and that was very obvious on the coverage. He just couldn't settle it, and as a result, he went wide, went forward, and probably didn't help Talia Hope, who then incurred the wrath of the stewards, Brendan, by using the whip far too often before the 100-metre mark, and she's incurred a suspension as a result of that. But I suppose, as Dino's outlined, you'd have to be impressed with the brave effort that Shot of Irish put up under those circumstances.
He was phenomenal, wasn't he? Mr. Marathon Man, he just drilled him, didn't he? Probably about the 1200 to the turn, he was up there really serving it up to him, and for him to kick and then keep going, you can say that he should have won the race. Reykjavik was the benefactor of that speed. He was just able to tuck in. Lewis German gave him a really pretty ride. He was in the sweet spot. He even just grabbed the hold again coming to the turn. He was travelling that well. He had a peek over to his over his left shoulder and seeing that there wasn't much back inside him, so he just took another grip because he knew how much he'd had in the tank. He raced really well through the winter at Flemington last year, and he's maintaining that form again this year. He was super, but all in all, the race just set up perfectly for him. Django Freeman, good. Charrosa, good. Thought Dead Agent was okay from the back, and as Dean outlined, just that that early pressure just took that finish out of Sosie Bon, and if the track's dry out, maybe Pacadali might be just about ready to go. He was up there in that speed battle, didn't get beat as far as Mr. Marathon Man did, but just highlights a run of Shot of Irish. He's beaten him by about four or five lengths, although Pacadali, not his favourite surface. Shot of Irish copped the brunt of that pressure, and it has still beaten him home comfortably.
One from Josh via the SMS. Thanks for your contribution, Josh. Dina, I'll start with you. What will they be doing with Django Freedman? Which cup will be aimed at in the spring? I thought it was an impressive effort yesterday. Thanks for your contribution, Josh. I think he's got a bit of an open mind, Rob Hickmott, about what he might line Django Freedman up yesterday, Dina.
Yeah, I think they'll be aiming towards the top of the tree, whether it's at 2 miles of the Melbourne Cup or a Caulfield Cup, or I think that's what the purpose he was bought for, and I think probably he'd be heading towards ultimately maybe a race to qualify, whether it be like a naturalism stakes if he was going Caulfield Cup path or a Bart Cummings. So I think we might see him once more and then be tucked away for the spring, but he certainly presented really well from what you could see of the vision yesterday pre-race, and I thought he raced accordingly.
What were your thoughts on perhaps the future for Django Freeman, Brendan?
Oh, you'd think he'd be aiming at the big two cups when they're going to be run, and at what date they're going to be run, and who's going to run in them. We remain to see, particularly international contingent. You would think, with them, he's going to be some sort of a chance. Without them, his hopes probably increase, but it was a good enough run there yesterday, bouncing off we're expecting to see him in the spring, weren't we? He'd have to run well enough in that sort of company to suggest that he could run well in the springtime.
One from Phil from Tassie. Great admiration for Froggy heading back to the mainland and not being dictated by the Tassie government. He's getting quality rides and making an immediate impact. Well done. He certainly is, Phil. Froggy's settling in, and we heard from him before that depending on various situations, it might even be a slightly extended stay, but looking forward to Tassie getting their racing back up and running, whether Froggy's here or not. In the last yesterday, Will Clarkin had Rocket Bessarana going down the straight with Jamie Carr aboard, a real South Australian flavour.
Mockery held together, Byling, Soweto Hayes, Rocker Basharana, then the Astrologist, Dwayne Dunn yet to pull the trigger from Can't Be Done, and Hilo out deeper from El Burke, and High Stranger working into it. Rocker Basharana drives through and takes the lead at the 200 metres. Rocker Basharana, two lengths, the Astrologist, Can't Be Done, Hilo, El Burke can't get a run. Rocker Basharana led from the Astrologist, High Stranger and Hilo. Rocker Basharana going well, too speedy, and Rocker Basharana won the last. High Stranger second, the Astrologist third, fourth Lombardo.
Ultimately, quite a dominant win down the straight in the last. Brendan, how did you see this race?
Got a nice tuck in behind. Mockery did the winner, Rocker Basharana, ran well first. That was okay. Second up, but really bringing the right stuff to the table yesterday. Of those that were in the market, he was the one that was able to get the cover in behind. The Astrologist faced the breeze, as did Hilo, Can't Be Done. Albert didn't get much of a crack at them, but it was the one that was able to get cover through the first part of the race, popped back to the inside really strong. I thought High Stranger good again. The Astrologist probably did a good job to even start in the race. He went off in the barriers and was taken out and vetted, and no one likes to see that. And then he was obviously agitated after it because it took them a little bit to get him back in. He's run a good race, and probably a little bit more credit has to go his way after the pre-race and pre-race antics. I thought Hilo was there with his chance. He was okay. Can't Be Done, you would think, could bounce off that. And Lombardo was a good closing effort. But Rocker Basharana with the cover, really good turn of foot in the wet conditions, a solid win.
Yeah, the Astrologist has to go back to the jump outs to the steward's satisfaction due to those pre-race antics in the barriers. How did you see the last, Dean?
Yeah, well, I think the valid point with Rocker Basharana is that it's first preparation for Will Clarkin, so he's probably still learning about the horse. As I mentioned yesterday in the pre-race, he worked too hard mid-race, so he didn't fire in the Euclides, but his first up run was good, and yesterday he got to run the race a bit more on his terms, and he was good enough to win. And you know, he's a good handy sprinter, and saw him run well up to 1400 metres in a Guineas Prelude behind Alligator Blood, so he's a good handy horse. High Stranger's absolutely flying because he's sprinting well, and we know he can get over a bit further, so there's more to come from him. I think the Astrologist just second up, he was a bit closer to the speed, and it probably dulled his finish, and he had the pre-race antics, so forgiving of him. Lombardo was okay. It was better than at Werribee, where he just over-revved and didn't race well as a $1.30 favourite that day. And that group out wide, I thought, were going to come on at about the 300. Hilo, Can't Be Done, they didn't quite figure late.
Anything from a forgive file, do you think, for that run? Stewart's report references Al Burke held up for clear running from the 200 and went to the line fully tested, without being fully tested. How do you assess Al Burke out of yesterday, Dean?
He's going well, and he's handling the soft ground, where I think that was probably a bit of a query on him on that sort of ground. He was, you could see he was a hard luck story, and could have finished a lot closer.
Craig Baker from Auckland. Dino, he's a regular contributor. Thanks for listening over there, Craig. Incredible weather you are getting pre and on race day. Is this the wettest autumn you can remember? From a Melbourne racing point of view, Dino, can you remember it being much wetter than this?
No, not really. No, it's usually this, you know, sort of the April, May, we get some fairly decent tracks for what you'd expect. But, yeah, the rain on the day of the race has been the absolute killer in recent weeks.
Yeah, I think you're right, Craig. How are you remembering this period of time with respect to rain, Brendan, compared to other years?
Well, if there's a case that you can make, it's nice not to be going to the races. It's been the last couple of weeks, they've been pretty ordinary. There was rain around yesterday that wasn't even bobbing up on the radar. You only have to go back and look through the history of Flemington throughout winter in the last, well, autumn into winter through the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, or even since the renovation took place. Not very often it's a genuine heavy eight track like we had yesterday, and just shows how much rain we've been having. It's badly needed around some parts of the country. It's definitely wet, that's for sure.
Wet racing at Flemington, almost wintry conditions there yesterday. Was better conditions at Eagle Farm. Was a different day with a bomb scare during the meeting, but there was three stakes races. We'll turn our attention to that after this.
On RSN's Correct Weight, the Racing Review.
racing at Brisbane yesterday, highlighted by three group races, a lead-up, traditional lead-up to the Stradbroke, but a revamped carnival this year was the Victory Stakes, and Jenny Graham saddled up Victorum with Mark Duplessis aboard.
Winterbright, everybody back, led by length and a half here from Deep Image and Tambo's Mates over on the inside. Outback Barbie, next one there is just in behind those, down the outside is Vega one, but still five lengths off Winterbright. Winterbright's just in front, Deep Image the outside, Tambo's Mate the inside, also coming through is Victorum, late down the outside's Nicanova, but Victorum's driven through, the outside is Deep Image, in front is Victorum, and Victorum goes on to win from Nicanova, flash to run second. Third, I think, Deep Image.
Well, a horse that we've got a bit of a handle on, Dino, primarily through his deeds in country championships and Kosciuszko's and the like, but a horse that's been a good horse for Connections, and he's earned a crack at a Stradbroke following that that race. What was your interpretation of the Victory Stakes?
Yeah, look, he did a good job, Victorum. He's obviously been a bit quirky with having the odd buck out of the barriers and going back to the trials. And yesterday he was on his best behaviour and his best form and got the money. Interesting that the two-year-olds ran 0.2 quicker than Victorum with Rothfire winning the Champagne Classic. So I don't know if this is if these are the horses lining up in the Stradbroke. If you saw a horse like Tracking making the heading north and going to the Stradbroke, he could. I think the Goodwood was a much better race last week as a guide. If any of those take their chances going forward to the Stradbroke.
Yeah, tend to agree with that. And I thought I saw a social media post that there was a flight to Toowoomba and Trekking was aborted during the week, but I haven't confirmed that with James Cummings. What was your take on this race, Brendan?
Yeah, Victorum just got the right run through, didn't he? Kemantari didn't help himself again. Not sure if he was slow or got a squeeze, but he had been slow out in a couple of his runs throughout the preparation. Deep Image okay, but it was a pretty sedate pace. Winterbride was well back, had a pretty comfortable lead, couldn't finish it off at the back end of 1200. Thought Tyzone was doing enough late. Heading towards a Stradbroke, Vega 1, 3 deep, no cover. Pace wasn't all that frantic, so he wasn't working over. Overtime out there, he was just okay, but Victorum got the nice ride through from Duplessis and he won well.
The Champagne Stakes was for the two-year-olds. Dino's already referenced that they ran quicker time, the two-year-olds here. Rothfire was leading. It was a battle between Rothfire and Isotope in the betting.
The 450, Rothfire led the way from Wild Ruler, easing out as Isotope, but she's still 3 to 4 lengths off the leader. Cucaracha is the next one. Rothfire's a length and a half clear. Wild Ruler tries, Isotope down the outside. Rothfire by length and a half. Wild Ruler can't get there. Isotope tries also, but Rothfire's in front. Wild Ruler and also Isotope, they won't get to Rothfire, and Rothfire is too hot on the Champagne. Rothfire wins. Seconds a photo between Wild Ruler and Isotope.
Looked to get control of the race early, Brendan, and it looked to be controlling it at you know what didn't look to be a really solid tempo, but obviously they're sharp horses, these two-year-olds, and they must have really dashed home.
Yeah, he was able to grab control of the race, wasn't he? Boom was pretty intent on getting the lead, and then you could see he just got a little bit keen when he was trying to back off the speed a bit, but he was able to contain himself well, had the nice run in front, and pretty much Isotope's probably held that margin of a length and a half or so for the majority of the straight where she had settled throughout the run. Didn't make up much ground, but didn't lose any ground, but wasn't taking it off at a rapid rate. Rothfire, good. Wild Ruler was there with his chance, but the top two were there to fight it out, and probably Rothfire, with that advantage of being able to control the speed, just helped his cause a little bit more. He was able to hold the filly off.
How did you see this race, Dean?
Yeah, I mean, it was billed as a real clash with Rothfire and Isotope. I thought the filly might be able to beat Rothfire just with the current race fitness, but he's a good galloper, Rothfire, and he was strong enough to the line and onto the JJ Atkins for him. He was really good.
What about Isotope? She was probably, Stewart's report says, just a little bit slowly away, began awkwardly, I think it references, and then was able to find that spot behind, I suppose, off the speed. But you think she was there to run Rothfire down, or with the run that he had, was he entitled to keep kicking?
Look, he went out, you know, at an even speed. They come home 34.47, so they certainly they came home well. So she was probably going to face a little bit of a challenge to make a lot of ground. But, yeah, I thought her run was adequate. But, yeah, I thought with race fitness she might nab him yesterday. So I don't know if she could turn the tables going forward in a couple of weeks' time.
Notification came through during the day regarding Kanaan, who was running in race 7, the Gun Sin, that he was fractious in the float whilst en route to the track, suffered minor abrasions to his offside nostril and his nearside hip, but he was examined by a veterinary surgeon and passed fit to race. He went around in the Gun Sin.
So Super Giant is a length and a half clear from Montez. Next one there is Impactful. Prophet's making ground over on the inside. Kanaan is one from the outside. Indian Dreamer is right down the outside. Super Giant still the leader. Montez tries. Ballistic Boy runs home. Kanaan out wide is still four lengths off them. Running home though. Super Giant's in front from Ballistic Boy. Kanaan. Super Giant. Ballistic Boy. Super Giant's in front. Ballistic Boy lunges. Photo. Super Giant or Ballistic Boy. Third will go to Kanaan. Name, followed by Sky Horse.
What did you make of this race, Dino? And it's probably not the ideal news you want to get if you're close to an even money marginal odds on favourite going around in a feature race, hearing that he's been fractious on the way and got a few abrasions but passed fit to run.
Yeah, you'd think a bomb scare would have rocked punters, but it was more the news that Kanaan had got down in the float or whatever he'd done that would have rocked them a lot more, because I think a lot of the day was revolving around him. He ran... Well, it was a different race structure to when he ran at Randwick. That performance was outstanding late, and he ran right through the line in brilliant late sectionals. But yesterday was a pretty solid tempo and a different race structure, and working through standardised times, he actually elevated a little bit off that run, but he couldn't bridge the gap yesterday. I thought he ran quite well. Super Giant was good. Ballistic Boy, good. And these horses handled the pressure well. Sky Horse was back with Kanaan in the run. She went down to the inside, cut through, and I thought she ran very well. So I think she'll be a massive factor in the Roses in 2 weeks' time. And it'll be interesting if they give Kanaan another run.
What was your take on the way the track played at Eagle Farm?
It just looked a bit loose, didn't it? That was probably the consensus of how it raced, and they used a fair bit of it trying to find absolute best ground. But I don't see a lot of Queensland racing, but I just thought yesterday that track raced a bit on the loose side.
You see this race, Brendan?
Yeah, the winner went out at a good steady gallop and just kept on rolling. Thought Ballistic Boy ran well. Wasn't all that far away from Kanaan when they made their runs. Ballistic Boy went through the middle. Kanaan went right to the outside. He had the task ahead of him from a long way out to try and bridge the gap, and particularly when he made the turn so deep, he gave up a bit of ground to Ballistic Boy and Super Giant. I thought he ran well month between runs. You would think he's going to improve off that. Punters weren't overly pleased. You wouldn't have thought yesterday with the price he went out. Thought Ballistic Boy good, Super Giant brave, Sky Horse runs well, back to the inside as Dean outlined. She was back with Kanaan and probably spotting the length or so and went back to the inside. But maybe switch the runs of Kanaan and Ballistic Boy. If he goes through the middle of the pack, he might get a little bit closer than what he did.
One of the highlights of racing in Queensland in recent times, Dino, has been Steph Thornton locating herself up there and riding as a senior rider yesterday. It wasn't a feature race, but she was able to win race 4 aboard Red Steiner. And she's just really made a terrific fist of her time in Queensland, and her career's really blossomed up there.
It has. It's been a happy hunting ground for the Victorians that have relocated in the last 12 to 18 months with Ryan Maloney, Andrew Mallion and Steph Thornton. And it really, she was going quite well down here, but she's elevated to an elite level of riding in Queensland, outriding her claim and getting that win yesterday. She's off and running as a senior.
Feature racing in Queensland yesterday, building towards the JJ Atkins and the Stradbrokers, the two feature races in the revamped Brisbane Carnival. Before we hand over to Brendan Delaney to guide us through Sunday Central as 10 o'clock approaches, it's time to get the guys' takes on runs of the day and horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
What are your thoughts on that perspective, Dino, racing around Australia yesterday?
Warren, yeah, I'm going to a venue we didn't mention, and that was Randwick. I thought the first winner yesterday, Peltzer, just confirmed what we saw of him a couple of weeks ago. We mightn't see him again this preparation, but he's a very good horse for Gerald Ryan, Son of So You Think. He was my run of the day, Peltzer, the two-year-old, and Massaf is the horse to follow. I think he can win his next start.
Been negligent, even though it was no stakes racing at Sydney yesterday, not to mention that winner, Peltzer. I'm glad it found your run of the day and therefore gets a mention. What style of horse do you think he is? He's a say you think, but he's certainly got a little bit of sharpness about him.
Yeah, he's very sharp and very much in the sprinting mould. There's a few of those say things that have that sort of mould about them that are short course, and I think, you know, whether he gets a mile in time, you know, as a Guineas horse, but I'd have to think he'd be a Golden Rose horse in the spring.
Great work today, Dino. Looking forward to your contributions during the week.
My pleasure. Thanks, Warren.
Brendan, how do you sum up yesterday?
Run of the day, Gamekeeper. Big effort to carry 62 kilos anywhere, but to do it at Flemington on a Saturday in testing conditions. That's enough to get the nod from me. Horse to follow. Going to stick with one of my old mates, Rocks the Castle. I think second up, he'll improve. He'll get out to 1,400 metres, grab control of a race, and he'll be there for a long way next time.
Great work, Brendan. Looking forward to you having Harry White preview the meeting at Sandown shortly. Feature jumps racing there also. We've got a meeting at the synthetic track at Ballarat. So plenty of on your plate for the rest of the morning. Thanks for your contribution so far.
Thanks, Warren. We'll have a chat shortly.
Gamekeeper is also my run of the day. The 62 kilos on the testing ground at Flemington was good enough to earn that for me. And I think El Questro's in for a good campaign with Alison Sheehan. She's my horse to follow. That's it for Correct Weight this morning. Brendan Delaney about to take the reins with Sunday Central.